Hey everybody, this is another lesson in our pod class series on the book of Proverbs. Thank you for coming back and checking out the second lesson, and I hope that you were able to listen to the first one with no problem, and you were able to kind of get into it, kind of get a feel for what we're going to be doing. And yeah, let's jump right back into things. I'm going to pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for another opportunity to open up your word, learn more about you, read more about you, hear more about you, God. I ask that you will allow this time to be fruitful. You would allow what is heard to be easily applied. Let it take root in our hearts and our minds, God. And I give you all the praise and glory. Amen. Okay, so last time we ended on talking about wisdom. We were basically saying that the theme, one of the last things we said was the theme of Proverbs is learning to think right so we will do right. Okay. The book of Proverbs gives the reader God's perspective of common sense, which is wisdom. That's where we left off. So we're going to jump right in and talk today about wisdom. I'm going to go to the book of John, chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 to 9. One thing about this platform is no one is here to read anything for me. So I'll be doing all the reading, which is going to be very interesting. So, you know, guys, let's go. A lot of the scriptures that I'm reading, most of them, I'm actually going to be reading from the NASB, the New American Standard Bible. I lost it for a second. That's the translation that I'll be reading from. So again, this is John chapter 5, verse 1 to 9. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool which in Hebrew is called Bethesda, having five porticos. In these porticos lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, limping, or paralyzed. Now a man was there who had been ill for 38 years. Jesus, upon seeing this man lying there, and knowing that he had already been in that condition for a long time, said to him, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk." Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Now it was a Sabbath on that day. I want to focus in on, I believe it's verse 6, where Jesus says to him, "Do you want to get well?" The King James Version says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" That's the question for this whole study. The application of wisdom to our life leads to wholeness, being whole. Okay? So, back to wisdom. Now, want to keep that whole concept of being whole in mind, right? Now, let's step back to wisdom. The dictionary definition of wisdom is what? Good sense. It's the knowledge and experience needed to make sensible decisions and judgments. It's the knowledge and the ability to make the right choices at the right time. It's a sign of maturity and development, right? Okay? Knowledge is good, but wisdom is better. If you guys were here, I would ask you why. Take a minute to think about it. Come up in your own mind. If we were sitting in class downstairs in the basement or on Zoom and I was to pose that question, how would you respond? Think about that. Knowledge is good, but wisdom is better. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. It's a choice. It's a choice that we make daily. We should be making daily. We must choose to apply wisdom. We must choose to apply what we know, right? Wisdom provides the skills necessary to live. Wisdom is the truth of God applied to life. A wise person is one who has mastered the art of living or who is skillful in the act of living. When we discussed Proverbs before, that was one of the main things that we brought up every week. Wisdom is the art and act of living. Wisdom is the art and act of living. Is someone, a wise person is someone who has mastered the art of living and who is skillful in the act of living. It's the principles that are right that help a person to live right. Okay? So, in the book of Proverbs, there are six Hebrew words that are translated into wisdom that is used throughout the entire text. And as we know, because, you know, the Bible has been translated, you know, from Hebrew, from the Greek, from the Aramaic, you know, there are words, there are human words, English words that sometimes don't give the full meaning. So some, when we're reading the Bible, it's important to, you know, kind of look back to see the text, see the language it was originally written in, and kind of look things up to kind of have a deeper dive so we can actually get the full understanding of what is actually being said, okay? So there are six words. The first word, now I may butcher some of these words. I'm trying very hard. I'll give you also the spelling, so if you on your own time, you can kind of go look things up yourselves. The first word is chokmah, C-H-O-K-M-A-H. This word is used 42 times in the book of Proverbs alone, okay? This is referring to true wisdom, things consistent with all that God decrees. That's chokmah, C-H-O-K-M-A-H, okay? Then the second word is binah, B-I-N-A-H, which means discernment. Proverbs, hold on, where's my, I printed out all my scriptures so, you know, I could be together. Proverbs 23, verse 4, this is an example of where this word is being used. Proverbs 23, verse 4 says, do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Stop dwelling on it. The King James Version says, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. And then to make it even more clear, the God's Word translation says, don't wear yourself out getting rich. Be smart enough to stop. Discernment again. We're talking about, you know, discerning truth from error, discerning good from evil. And then this one, I remember reading this and I wanted to include it because I thought it was so, you know, important and a different realization that we often, I don't think, do a good job at really discerning from. Discerning best from good. How many times do we do things, and it's an okay thing to do, I mean, it's good, but is it the best for you? Is it the wisest decision? Not to say that the other decision is a bad decision, but it may not be the best. And I think we have to do a better job at really being able to discern not just truth from error, not just good from evil, but also best from good. Okay, so this discernment that we have when it comes to this, it results in righteousness, justice, and equity. That's binah, B-I-N-A-H. The third one is lab, or lab, L-A-B. This word is also used for heart. So it means wisdom that we know innately. What does the word innate mean? Existing and belonging to, determined by factors present in an individual from birth. It's native. It's already in you, okay? Examples of this word is found in Proverbs 10:21, Proverbs 11:12, Proverbs 15:21, Proverbs 19:8. Let's read Proverbs 19:8. One who gets wisdom loves his own soul. One who keeps understanding will find good. Let's read another one. Let's do Proverbs 10:21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for a lack of understanding. Proverbs 11:12 says, one who despises his neighbor lacks sense, but a person of understanding keeps silent. So this word here, when you hear the word wisdom, it's talking about your heart. You know, what's in you, what should be a natural response or a natural feeling. The next one is Irma, E-R-M-A-H. And this word is used for shrewdness. Shrewdness, which means the quality of having or showing good powers of judgment, okay? And examples of this word is found in Proverbs 1, verse 4, which says, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge, and discretion. And also in, chapter 8, verse 5, which says, you naive ones understand prudence, and you fools understand wisdom, okay? The fifth one is sakal, S-A-K-A-L. This means good or common sense. And examples of this word can be found in Proverbs 1, verse 3, which says, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and integrity. And then finally, sekel, S-E-K-E-L, which is insight or understanding. And examples of this word is found in Proverbs 3, 4, Proverbs 12, 8, Proverbs 15, 15, Proverbs 16, 22, and Proverbs 23, 9. Let's see, I'll do a few. Proverbs 3, 4 says, so you will find favor and good reputation in the sight of God and man. And then let's do one more. Proverbs 12, 8 says, a person will be praised according to his insight, but one of perverse mind will be despised. So as we're reading, and passages come up describing wisdom, you know, let's keep in mind the true meanings and the context of the words that we're reading, okay? So, still, it's, you know, we're talking about wisdom here, right? So, who is the primary author of the book of Proverbs? That would be King Solomon, okay? And as we should know, King Solomon has become known as the wisest man in history, okay? But there are a few other writers sprinkled in throughout the text. But the difference between this book and many of the others in the Bible is that this wasn't written, you know, to a specific group of people, right? Like when you're reading the Old Testament, who is that specifically written to? The Jews. Then you have the New Testament epistles. You know, they were sent to establish churches. So, you know, believers. This book contains no direct information about the people that it was written to. It doesn't mention, it does not specifically mention culture, laws, customs, or history. This book is timeless and universal. And I think that that's awesome because we won't get caught up in the distraction of the stories or what's going on. You can focus on the morality of it all. This wisdom that is shared in this book are truths that apply to everyone at any time. This book talks about 46 different types of men, 23 different types of women, various children, showing us that we're not all as different as we think, and it teaches us how to deal with our differences. Even with this book, we still have to put aside modern view of knowledge and wisdom and replace it with the Hebrew perspective of God and wisdom. See, as far as they were concerned, for a person to know truth and then behave contrary to that truth, that was the definition, the very definition of stupidity. So, for example, if people accept the law of gravity as a fact and truly understand how it operates, we don't dance at the on the ledge of a skyscraper. If we do, our theoretical knowledge of gravity only makes us greater fools. Wise people stand clear of dangerous places and usually live longer as a result. In the Hebrew mind, to know wisdom and instruction means to put it into practice. Here it is. Wisdom occurs when knowledge produces obedience. Let's think about that. wisdom occurs when knowledge produces obedience. We're gonna end there, and I want you guys to think about that throughout the week. Wisdom occurs when knowledge produces obedience. Dear Lord, I just ask that you would again bless this time, bless this. Thank you for blessing this time. Thank you for being with us. Allow this word to take root, and that we will be able to apply what it is that you have for us, God. And I thank you and I bless you once again for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, thank you all for taking the time to listen. I appreciate you, and I hope that you are getting something out of it. Feel free. There's a comment little section on the page of the website. Leave comments. You know, let's discuss it amongst each other so we don't lose our connection. If you have time, make sure you go in. When you go to the page, you know, there's a drop down where you can comment, talk to one another, the whole thing. Say something in our chat if you need to. I know Donna left a comment. I know Julius at one point was talking about maybe having like a WhatsApp or something so we can kind of communicate in real time. Whatever you guys want to do, I'm here for it. Reach out to me. Let me know. And we'll go from there. Thank you again for your time. And I want you all to have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.